Shazam will be the next DCE movie to go. Justice League will bring a Batman that you know. And Joss Whedon has Darkseid in his movie Nomo. Today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Hey!
No mo.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah. Like
that.
Yes! Listen, just to open up and just let you know, Johnny LaQuasto is not here today, which means that I have to have the responsibility of bringing us through our DC movie stories, but as some of you know, I also work for Doghouse, so I just wanted to share with you what happened earlier today as we prepared for Doghouse's Oktoberfest promotions. This is what happens.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, no.
Oh, that explains it.
No. Why?
This was not Coca-Cola, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy.
Root beer?
Because they had the camera and they asked me to.
What are you, Haley Berry?
I know.
I saw that.
And then a woman walks in. Then an honest customer walks in because this is before the store opened.
Don't mind us, please. We're open for business.
That actually happened. That was a real woman there.
Was that Guinness? Look at your eyes. Look at your eyes.
Wait, why don't you eat it, though? I wanted you to scarf it down.
Well, that was cold. That was a proper we were using for many hours. And one of the other things that we had filmed, I was biting into many of the sausages. But so anyway.
Wow.
So pardon the slurred speech. Welcome to DC Movie News, everyone. We got to get right to it because we're losing one of our members pretty early. Here we have with us once again the fabulous, the lovely, with the deliciously ripped up Batman tee. Alina Jordan is here.
Woo woo woo!
Deliciously ripped up.
Deliciously ripped. Mm. And what do you got going on there? There's some kind of like
you know, it's so
color
funny.
Scheme.
Today I go out for my Grammy's 90th birthday.
Grammy.
And she said, "I like your comic shirt." And I said, it's just a blue shirt. And she was like, it looks like a comic book.
Looks monochromatic.
So it does. I don't know why.
It's kind of Captain America-y.
I was like, oh, well, maybe.
It does. It reminds me of like Doctor Who's little ID, you know, that blank ID that he has kind of thing. It's like, I feel like you can just envision whatever comic book background you want on that.
But it was weird. I was like, of all the shirts that I wear that you've never commented on that have Batman on them, you like this comic shirt?
Of all. That could have Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, anything. She's the crown jewel of DC Movie News. It's Roxy Stryer. Do your Roxy Stryer dance.
Roxy.
I caught that online.
You caught that a little bit?
Yeah, I was like, it was all over Twitter. So
whatever.
I was like, what the heck is that?
I really appreciated it when I saw it in hindsight.
Really?
Catch that on camera. Catch me outside.
How about that?
That is just, listen, come on.
Mike's never heard that. It's okay.
Really?
He's heard it.
That's so old. That's like...
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're fortunate enough to have with us for a little bit of time anyway. Mike Kalinowski is here.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hello.
Good to see you.
Hello.
Well, we are gathered here once again to talk about DC movie news. We're going to jump right in since we have limited time and I am slightly intoxicated.
Should we dive?
We're going to dive right in, although we don't have any Aquaman stories this week. But we will talk about David S. Sandberg talking a little bit about Shazam. Obviously, he's out promoting Annabelle Creation, which has done very well at the box office. And we have two things to talk about. One, Shazam, next DC movie in production.
Yes. Wait, okay, so I feel stupid because
just
today?
No.
I know. There was like so many opportunities there, I felt like...
I didn't even know which one to take.
Didn't know what to do, and I fumbled.
It was a plethora.
Being somebody who's in this industry, but still not being quite sure what this means. Like, so when? How? What?
What don't you know? What's going on?
I'm just confused. I mean, go ahead and we can read the quote, but I don't understand the timeline still. And I need to
They're just going into production.
They're
the next one.
Yes.
After what?
Still no
Aquaman.
Still no confirmed date. Next after Aquaman.
Yeah. Next after Aquaman.
So Shazam will be the next to air after Aquaman?
Most likely.
I would agree with that.
No mo.
But not necessarily. But most likely.
Not necessarily, yes.
Yeah. They're definitely shooting next, but they're not necessarily airing next.
Probably they will.
Yeah, I'd say this is
the goal is probably to shoot and have it be the next movie to be released.
See, that's weird to me.
I think Jeff Johns was very clear with the Comic-Con comments that he said, we're not talking about release dates. We're talking about when we have movies that are ready to go. Yeah. I think everything that you're hearing about, I'm very optimistic about all this news, despite all the Justice League stuff that we're going to talk to. I think these guys are spending every dollar because they're thinking long term, and it does not matter. It does not matter if you have to double the budget of Justice League if you make a great Justice League movie, because it's not about the one movie, it's about the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
And so
Jody Money in the chat says, have they confirmed that Shazam is connected to the rest of the DCEU? I feel as if they've confirmed that it is not.
You know what? No. Because no, this is something that we've talked about since the beginning of our show, and it's gone back and forth, but it seems very tepid. Like, it just, it's the New Line thing.
Yes. And it is the New Line
thing. We know Black Adam is a part of it. And the next comment I want to bring up is that a lot of people were
No, we know Black Adam is not part of it.
But yeah. David
but
Sandberg
will later on have his own part of the movie union. And will, assumingly, be at least a trilogy where they then...
What do you guys like better as an abbreve? Uni or verse? It's part of the verse.
Part of the
part
verse?
Part of the uni.
Part of
verse.
The uni.
I just say part of the universe.
Okay,
well, obviously, she's asking.
Well, you're older than I am.
Part of the same verse.
Suck it.
I don't know.
If you
I
had
hate
it,
both.
I would.
I do want to say, though.
If you had it, I would.
So,
how about that?
How about that?
David Sandberg confirmed that Black Adam was part of earlier scripts, but in the most recent iteration, they have a script that they're going with. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
we're not going
script.
Into production without a script. They're going into production without a script that does not at this time contain Black Adam, and Black Adam is still meant to be in a separate film. And when David S. Sandberg was asked about his research, he's reading all the stuff going back to the 40s kitchen sink stuff, going back to the recent Geoff Johns stuff, and the stuff in between as far as the mythology of Captain Marvel / Shazam.
Shazam!
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's in the DC universe.
Are you excited about it? I mean, how do you feel? What are your overall thoughts?
I like the fact that it's not Black Adam in there. I think it has...
It does feel weird how this is going to tie into the rest of the DCU.
But I don't know how to feel yet.
I think it's going to be who, when, where, how. Like Wonder Woman, if you take out the Bruce Wayne stuff, Wonder Woman, you could not be connected to that universe if they said it's not connected to the DCU. Yes,
remember
it's the same
that
actress,
time?
But it doesn't. If you took out the Bruce Wayne bookends, which is the picture, that could be a separate film. So maybe this does not need to connect to what we've got going on.
I mean, well, although it does explain who she is in Justice League.
Yeah.
I mean, BVS.
So this Shazam doesn't really need to have much connected to what's going on.
Remember that time we had a Shazam? Like, remember that time we knew who Shazam was?
No, we never did. We still don't.
I don't remember that time either.
We still
don't. So, are you excited?
That's a big reveal.
For this movie? Are you excited for this movie?
They know who he is.
Okay, I don't know who he is. So, am I excited?
But you're not making the movie. So.
The big question, though.
He asked me if I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, the big question is, you're right. You don't know if this is a world where Henry Cavill's Superman exists in the same world as The Rock's Black Adam and Shazam, formerly Captain Marvel.
I'm with Mike on this one. I think that it is connected, but it doesn't necessarily, just like, you know, if you are looking at any story that has multiple characters, if you're cutting to ABC storyline, that's basically what these movies are doing, where they're their own storyline. They're all connected, but maybe not directly. We don't have to run into the same people.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I think that dovetails nicely into our next story, which is how has the Justice League film changed ending... Thinking of all these films that are moving in the future, right? Okay. Since the Zack Snyder film, which was already in pre-production before BVS came out, the world has changed many times over with regard to DCEU since then. So, what we're discussing here is, how do you think he's changing the end of this film? There's a lot of talk about all the research. And then, does this tie into a new, different sort of DCEU moving
forward?
There's
a lot of questions.
Because
the first thing is, how does it change would imply that we have any idea what the ending was originally supposed to be?
Well,
which there are rumors about,
let's go back to that.
Darkseid.
Okay, Mike.
There was Justice League 1 and 2 was announced.
Yes.
That was what it was.
Uno,
and,
dos.
Right.
Just for our Spanish-speaking audience.
Yes.
Thank you. But those are the only words that they would understand, presumably. But
great.
But they...
A little something for everybody.
We assumed that with the casting of Steppenwolf that, it's going to end with Darkseid being revealed. Maybe Superman comes back, and then Justice League 2 is Darkseid coming to Earth. That's what we thought. That has changed since then, and they made a good link to it's this very same thing with... Because Infinity War used to be Avengers 3 and 4 combined as one. It was
Infinity and 1
Quattro.
Part 1 and 2.
Right, that's what it was. And they said, since then they've gone, nope, we're not doing that either.
Right.
Because in production, the way things go, they realize, maybe that's not the best way to go about it. And I think DC... After the critical backlashing of BVS and then Suicide Squad, they're like, let's pump the brakes. let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's see, with this film, can we make it a standalone film? Because there is no Justice League 2 announced. There is not.
Okay. Here would be my question.
Which is smart.
Here would be my question.
I agree.
What I think we should be thinking about, though, is...
What is the question,
if
Roxy?
I'm going to ask it right now. I was going to get there. If we're not going with the Darkseid ending, right. If we don't see Darkseid at all, then why is Steppenwolf our villain?
Because it sets up... You don't throw out your big bad right away. You don't go the biggest guy in the DCEU away.
That's not what I'm saying. I agree. I'm not saying that Darkseid should be our villain. I'm saying that if it is Steppenwolf, the reason, the logic in my mind behind that was so that we could reveal Darkseid, because it would give us a reason to get to Darkseid.
Well, I would think he's an envoy. He's an envoy of Apocalypse. Apocalypse pretty much wants to colonize our little planet,
yeah.
And that is in the name of Darkseid. And, you know, I think, again, it's really hard to conjecture because we don't know how the film was meant to end, but for some reason, if we're meant to believe the rumors that it was going to have this Darkseid cliffhanger, which is very much like how Avengers ended,
yeah.
And would be like almost like Joss Whedon now aping himself in a pretty predictable way,
yeah.
Or... there's something different now. You know, maybe, clearly, yeah, Darkseid has to exist in a world where Apocalypse and Boom Tubes and Steppenwolf exist, but how is this going to change? I think it affects where they're moving forward. I think that's what it really says more about. This ending changing affects the future of the DCEU rather than setting up for a Justice League 2, which, as you said, has not been announced.
What if we changed it so that Darkseid is the ending? And he previously was not the ending. Like, we're assuming we know what it was, but what if what we thought it was is now what it is, and what it was is no longer?
Rox, is this Inception?
Well,
I can't even
Rox, to go to what you're saying.
Into your shirt and I
to
see,
go
like,
what you're saying, Rox, I don't know if... I don't know if I can say no to that. I think I might agree. Just because piecing together
you
what we know
it.
In the script, there's scenes of... We know the League, minus Sans Superman, they're in the tunnels... you know, underneath Gotham and stuff, and they're fighting the parademons, but there is a scene where Wonder Woman is fighting Steppenwolf in that scene, so why is your main villain fighting the team midway through the film? But then the finale is all of that red sky, they're outside, so that's a bigger battle, so what's going to happen with that?
Here's what I find really interesting, too, is that what we're hearing from actors like Joe Morton, who is working on the film as Silas Stone, and just the general conjecture is that a lot of the reshoots and a lot of the rewrites have been meant to create a lighter tone, which is interesting to me because way back when they had that set visit, that was meant to, like, that was a lighter tone. But still, it seemed like they need to even come past that. Like, it was still this downer or sort of bummer vibe.
Well, are you specifically talking about Joe Morton's quote right now? Or?
Yeah, Joe Morton's quote. Yeah, he was, you know, people were asking Joe Morton about some of the pickups, and I think he said, you got what he said, right?
Yeah, and Joe Morton is the actor, I believe, that's playing Cyborg's father,
he was
correct?
Also Cyberdyne Industries, right?
Yes,
in T2, yeah. Is that a Schmodown question, potentially?
Could be.
He was, what's the character's name?
Oh, gosh, it was,
Oh, my God.
Can you, don't put me on the spot.
Five.
Okay.
Damn. Four.
Damn it!
Trace.
We're gonna lose!
I want the JT rule, please. JT rule,
okay,
can repeat
okay.
the question.
I can't repeat it, because I don't know what it was.
What character did Joe Morton play in Terminator 2?
Miles Dyson.
Ah, yes!
Michael and Alice,
we're going
to
JT away!
You guys
away.
Are going down!
Going down.
That's how I do it!
Suckers.
That's how I do it!
I have the quote for you now.
Okay, do not doubt the killer.
Okay.
Do not doubt the killer.
IGN asked, can you say what's different? Is there any difference in tone? We're talking about the difference between Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon. And Morton said, well, the stuff that I had to do were just really small little bits and pieces, nothing necessarily having to do with the tone. I know that with Ray Fisher, the young man who plays Cyborg, young man, there were some adjustments that they made in terms of the tone of that character. I think what I heard was that there was need from the studio to lighten up the film in a way that the film felt too dark. I don't know what that meant in terms of how it actually got translated in terms of the reshoots, but that's what I heard. That's what I thought some of the reshoots were about.
I
can't believe he said this.
But,
yeah.
But it kind of goes to what they're saying. Like, Cyborg, they're saying that he hates his father in this film. He hates his dad when he did
there.
To him.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a understandable drive, but maybe it was a little too heavy. Maybe it was a little too,
it could have been played very maudlin.
Yeah.
And that would play to what Zack Snyder's sensibilities kind of are. Like, Zack Snyder would be like, no, I know comic books and I know Cyborg is like this, but in the real world, like, Zack Snyder has a very specific vision for his...
Can I just say, with BVS, real quick, and how it plays to our world today...
Oh, boy.
That scene with Superman coming down to Earth, the White House, with Alien Go Home and all this...
You know what I watched this week?
That speaks to our... And it is a... And that's why I love that film, because it doesn't pull any punches. It is a...
I watched V for Vendetta this week.
Okay.
And talk about something that speaks to our world right now.
Comic books are always a prism through which these artists and writers, you know, can kind of get away with stuff.
Yeah.
But
like, just like sci-fi has always been.
Like, hit, you know, Adolf, you know, Cap punching Hitler.
Well, Superman, back in the day, helped break up a lot of Nazi organizations by infiltrating and finding out their secrets.
But to see, Snyder, they talk, so his dad put this alien technology in him, and here he is, you know, like this freak.
I know. And the thing is that the art was never as compelling in any of the good Nazi comics that I read as a kid, so that's why they just don't really catch on, I think.
What?
Nazis aren't good guys.
Can we? What's our next topic? Because I want to talk about one in specific.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, Rox, can you pull it up again?
Here we go.
Okay, we got
Affleck. Affleck talking about Jason. Batman.
Yes, that.
Okay,
I have news about this one.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about Affleck, Afflecks, and Batman.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's start off with one thing that we know is Ben Affleck had said that I think the Batman that you're going to see in Justice League is a little bit more of the Batman you might recognize. Like, he acts like a hero, which makes me very happy.
Everyone's excited for
it. I know you love the Batman v Superman, but I don't really like that depiction of the character because it feels out of left field for me.
Angry Batman,
But I get where he is at that point. And a lot of people say...
And it also doesn't seem like the smartest Batman because...
A lot of people say, You have to remember the 20 years. You know that he's been Batman. The 20 years. It's a different Batman.
It's a different thing. I just personally never liked.
But it's
starting the DCEU with that Batman at that point.
But it's a nice character arc for this character. He is a great arc. If he's
I think in
to
hindsight, I think you're right. I think if this works in Justice League, I'm going to look at that Batman v Superman and like it more.
I have a feeling people are going to look at it like they did with Wonder Woman and now BVS. They look at her in Wonder Woman in BVS. She's like, wow, she's really good.
Sure.
So I think people want, if Affleck is going to give us the Batman that people are talking about and also the Cavill that people want, the Superman, I think they're going to look back and go, okay, we had to go through something I didn't like to get where we are, but... Okay.
Yeah. Which is also why, like, I think the whole idea of the Nightmare Batman sequence in BVS, like, how can we get that Superman now? It's like, we've already moved past, like, dark, brooding Superman. Like, I don't see, you know, people were talking about, like, we don't know what Superman's going to be like when it comes to Justice League. Is he going to be a villain? What if that's one of the storylines that they've cut the hell out?
Yeah. That we didn't
have. What if the whole dark Superman thing was going to happen?
Or they've eliminated that by... joining for like
that's
know,
what I mean.
That's,
I mean, doing a different
resurrection.
By the Flash coming back and going, you need to stop this. This needs to.
It sounds like they're playing with a lot of, as my friend would say, timey wimey stuff to get it all
Wibbly
together.
Wobbly.
Hey, we're working there.
Did you want to talk about the Affleck brothers?
Yes, let's talk about.
Okay,
this.
At a Sox game, is that the way to say that?
Sox game.
What I do want to say though is that this was on WEEI, which is where my brother's a producer.
Were you having a cold one watching the Sox?
So you're a Bostonian.
I'm a Bostonian. WEEI is an amazing station. It's a sports radio station that my brother works for.
And the Afflecks are notorious Bostonians.
Yeah, of course, and actually. They're doing this whole marathon right now. It's a Jimmy Fund thing. Maria Menounos just called in for it, too, being a Bostonian. So it was all something they were all part of. But Casey was throwing the first pitch, I believe.
That's a thing that they do.
This isn't the pitch where he threw it and hit the guy in the nuts, is it? Have you seen that?
No.
He was throwing the first pitch and hit some guy off the catcher right in the nuts.
Maybe he was aiming there, okay?
Baba booey.
Okay, Boston, you're mine.
No. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so at the game, you know, I wanted to let you have it, but then you were
off the rails.
I was just telling you that my brother works there, and he was saying that it was interesting their take on this story. So
okay,
I'll give it to you guys
at
after.
The game, I'll tell you this story. I'm sure you all know it. At the game, somebody asked Casey Affleck, just won an Academy Award, and all this about what he thought of his brother's Batman.
Yes.
And it didn't even sound like there was a follow-up question.
So
but
here's what he said. We do a video of it, though. Are we going to play it or should
I don't know if we set
it?
Up to play the video of it.
Just talk.
He said, I thought he was an okay Batman. He was obviously joking. He thought he was great. No, he was great. He was great. He's a hero, so he had something to channel and work with there.
That's sweet. That's a really sweet comment.
That is very nice. But he's not going to do that movie, I don't think.
What? I so feel like he started his first push the way you started your day. I think he was just like...
So then, though, then after that, they kind of, like, said to him, they said, breaking news, and he kind of panicked and was like...
Is
that breaking news? I don't know what I'm talking about.
I was just kind of making that up.
Yeah, and you just, see, like, kind of, like, went back on it.
I think...
And some so the two sides of the story is number one, that he was just trolling his brother this whole time and knew that this would get press and knew that it would mess with him and that his brother is doing the movies. Or number two, his brother said something to him. He did not realize the information was not public. He kind of split it out there and then was like, oh,
I think he was just out of it, dicking around if and was he was saying drinking, whatever. Like
sometimes
I don't...
Sometimes when you drink, you say things like you don't mean. Like, for example, I wear pantyhose. All the time,
but
I enjoy
if
it.
You had said that when you were drunk, I would believe it.
Well, maybe I'd say
I think this is what the boys like to call busting balls. He knew his brother. Like, I pictured this happening. He knew this is going to get so much crap. He knew the internet was going to take it. Ben's on the other line, going, "You, what did you do? I just got done with this crap, and now they're going to start with this crap." Man, when I see you next time, I'm going to
you're giving
you so
him too much credit.
Nuts.
I don't think he was even thinking that far in the future. I don't think he was like, "Oh, this is going to get so much press." I think he was just like, "What? We're at the game. Goal sucks." Yeah, my brother. I don't know if he's going to do that.
So, but I'm interested, Roxy. You seem to intimate that you have some inside information from people here.
It's not necessarily more information. It's just that I asked my brother the tone at the studio. Did they think it was one way or the other? And he said that they all believe that he slipped something that he was not supposed to slip.
Now, let me say this, because people have been asking me this morning about this. I was there. We saw his Comic-Con reaction. Uh-huh. Affleck saying, you know what? No, I am in. I want to do Reeves Batman. I'd be an ape for him. If this comes out that he all along was not going to do this Batman film and he was out after Justice League, Ben Affleck will lose me as a fan. I will done with him. With this, because I think it is, it could have been one thing to go,
even
guys.
Even if Warner Brothers is dictating what he does,
it's a tough position to be in.
It would be me if he goes, guys, Justice League, I'm in for Justice League. Let's focus on this. This is the film we're working on. We've had so many ups and downs with the Batman. This is what I'm saying. We're here for Batman.
But
we're
it's not
Justice
up
League.
To him to say. Like, he's being dictated what he's allowed to say about
that
stuff.
He could be
stuff.
Sued
That's
for
not
millions
really
of
choice.
Dollars. Yeah.
It's not his choice to say because.
So why would they talk about the Batman? Like, did not need to come out at Comic-Con and address it. They didn't need to.
There was still nothing official. The Batman was still not actually announced at the thing. I don't believe it was, right? It
I
wasn't
think
at
that
the
he's
Hall
still
H
in.
Thing.
I really think that it's just probably he was frustrated. He came down, like, Casey was there, and he's like, you know, what if the Batman, whatever.
Listen, his
and so
reps.
Casey just
so
ran with it.
Today,
and
we have, there was a report with the Affleck's reps actually said.
Yeah.
So, Casey Affleck's rep said that he was just messing around at a game. Okay, which is obviously the obvious cover story. And Affleck's representatives reiterated his stance from Comic-Con, which was that... Actually, it sounds a little different to me. His rep said that he will be Batman as long as Warner Brothers will have him.
Have him, yeah.
Which means, you have to realize, he still has a... Presumably, he still has a one contract left on a film. So now you're in the position was, does Warner Brothers want to go ahead with a trilogy? Which means that if Matt Reeves is going to make a trilogy, they have to decide if they're going to sign Ben Affleck for three movies.
I think that's a mistake,
or
though.
Or start
trilogy.
Over.
Oh, that whole trilogy crap.
Doesn't matter. I'm just reading the tea leaves, and I'm telling you that's exactly what's going on in the place. They're not going to make a one-off film. Okay. I don't know why this makes you so angry. This is business.
Because Wonder Woman, they didn't set out to make a trilogy either. And we got
but
one
they
the
have
great,
Gal for
but,
innumerable
but we got
films,
one of the greatest
sure.
comic movies of all time because they
yes.
focused on this
and
is the story we're doing.
And they realized that they messed up by not signing Patty Jenkins on for Wonder Woman 2.
But it was,
and
not,
now
a, it was not a mess up. They didn't know where they were going to go with it.
Well,
they didn't
yeah,
know.
But now it's going to cost them more money. I so I feel like they're not going to make that error again.
I think
they are
going to
keep going
their,
trilogies.
With...
They're going to sign sequels. They're going to sign multiple.
And we're back into...
Okay. Can we focus on what Adam just said, though? Because I think that was the most important part. Listen to the words. He'll continue to be Batman as long as the studio will have them.
Yeah.
This is not somebody who is under pressure, who's drinking, who has to... This is somebody who the next day is putting out a canned response, and those were the words they chose. Why did they pick that?
Well,
Why did they pick as long as the studio will have them? I think exactly because they're probably gearing up. I don't know whether he's in it or not, but I think they're talking to fans like you and letting you know that it's not necessarily 100% hit on him right now.
He signed up for one more film. That's what he knows. Yeah. He can't make any choices beyond that. We don't know, A, if Warner Brothers wants him for three films, if, B, Warner Brothers wants to sign what that will cost for three films, C, we don't know if Matt Reeves wants him for his films. I think Matt Reeves has all the choices in this situation. Matt Reeves signing on means that Matt Reeves has all the choices. Matt Reeves didn't sign on to something saying that you're going to dictate who my character is going to be or anything like this. There was a lot of deliberation, and the fact that he signed on leads me to believe that he's got all the choices. So if Matt Reeves decides, A, I want Ben Affleck to be my Batman, then Warner Brothers is going to have to decide if, A, they want to make one Batman film or make a new deal with Ben Affleck. And then Affleck has to decide if he wants to. I just think that there's a lot of moving parts right now.
Yeah, and I think that it's really a safeguard that he's probably putting into place where he's saying, I am signed on for this movie. If anything does happen, then that's a studio choice. Because so far everything has been so up in the air that if something were to happen, he doesn't want to. I'm with you, Roxy. He doesn't want to lose fans who are thinking that he's just dropping out and that he's not, that he was never on board.
Absolutely, you're right. And Mike, you're right. Like, people, he'll lose fans, but he's also, his hands are tied. You know that. You know that there's certain things he's not allowed to talk about. I mean, there's so much secrecy and so many contracts
he's
that you have to
sign. He's probably confused too. Like,
if Reeves goes, I want Hugh Jackman as my Batman.
Okay.
And Affleck goes, I want to be Batman, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Warner Brothers will side with Affleck.
I would say that.
But do you think Affleck would say that after hearing Reeves? I don't think Affleck would say that.
I'm not putting them against each other. I'm just saying, I don't think Reeves has star power. To choose star power over Affleck.
And this is where we disagree. This is where we disagree, because I think Reeves signed up with all those things in place, because when they were negotiating with him, he walked. And the fact that he signed means...
But that was on the script stuff.
Well, we don't know exactly. He might also have choice of cast. You know, whatever Reeves went on, Reeves decided that this situation was going to be amenable to what he wanted. So if he didn't walk into a situation where Warner Brothers is going to dictate something that he doesn't want for his trilogy or his single film or whatever it is. All I'm saying is what I see is that Reeves got what he wanted and he signed up. So if
so, wouldn't he got what he wanted? That we already knew that Affleck was involved, so he knew that Affleck was there.
Maybe yes or maybe no. That is the big question that we don't know. And a lot of this is also because Justice League hasn't been released yet, and we know that we wouldn't hear the answer to this until after it comes out, because it would be incredibly distracting to talk about how Affleck is walking away after a film that hasn't
Although,
come out.
True. Would it be more distracting than this?
I think it would. I think not knowing is worth the knowing.
I think it's ultimate say. It's like exactly what Patty Jenkins said about Wonder Woman. She wouldn't have cast Gal, and she was glad that Gal was in it, but that was a studio choice. I think the same thing. But Matt Reeves, he signed up.
I think it's different.
I think
they signed up from a different point of view, because Matt Reeves...
But I think he's saying, do I have creative control?
Yes.
I don't want... If Ben Affleck's in, that's fine. I want Ben Affleck the actor, not him giving me suggestions if he's not directing.
Ben Affleck doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's like that.
I don't think he would. But I think that a director who is also stepping on, who's like, I want script control, I want to also, you know, direct this.
I don't think you can compare Patty Jenkins' director position before Wonder Woman to Matt Reeves.
You can't, but...
I'm just using it as an example of how the studio can say...
How everything is fickle. Patty Jones gone on to create the 8th highest film of all time, box office. Matt Reeves is Apes, highly regarded, but the least financially successful of all the Apes films. So
what, the last one?
Oh yeah, it dropped instantly.
I think it still made more than the first one though.
Rise? I think they're all saying it's not the success that everyone's... There was a lot of articles saying, is it actually a success? Yes, people love it.
I'm not comparing them as like their level of director before they're going in and their influence. I'm just saying, as an example, the studio, even though a big chunk of directing is casting,
the
studio can override, which we've already seen our studio do
that. But when you sign on to a film, you will decide before that if you have control of casting or not.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But I think that Affleck has signed on. I think that Reeves signed up.
Guys, we have to say bye to our buddy.
I got
to
leave on this one. I don't want to leave because this is getting heated and good.
Well, there's a lot of things that we don't know. There's a lot of conjecture here.
We're conjecturing about deals that were made that we have no access to.
The quick thing I wanted to hear about was what you thought about the promo banner.
I think it looks great.
Oh, yeah. So there was a promotional piece put out that had Superman in it.
We know Superman's in the film. We know that.
We also don't know what this was used for other than the fact that, like, a website is selling it.
Okay.
It seems very weird.
I don't know. Okay, because the website's selling it. It looks like he took the images that were individual, because all those right there.
It looks very Photoshopped.
If you were at Comic-Con, the Mattel booth had this on a giant mural, but they were all standing separately.
But it was the same positions?
Yes. And okay. He just took them and.
Okay. It doesn't even look photoshopped. It looked like he cut them out. Yeah. Yeah.
That was at Comic-Con, but they were all individual. Yeah. So it's not an official.
Okay.
Warner Brothers release. Looks great.
But the story is saying that it is official.
No, it's not.
Well, the story that we have maintains that it is an official piece of merchandise.
But regardless, we already know Superman's
in it. We know he's in it. The toys are out. We know he's in it.
Yeah, but we don't know what he looks like. We don't know if he's part of the league.
Right. So just, I think, leave it.
Seems like a non-choice to me.
Yeah.
Okay. To reveal it in an image like this seems like sort of a non-choice.
But he's been released already. Like, the pops that are out, Funkos, he's on them.
But not the trailers.
I hope they don't.
Or maybe that
case. Or maybe in the last trailer.
Super stylish calendar with that awesome background.
That calendar is such a piece of...
I gotta go.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Mikey Christmas is out of here. Good thing. It was getting heated.
Cash me outside, Mikey. Cash me outside.
Cash me outside.
I'll take it for you. Oh, all right.
Get out of here.
You shut up.
All right. So even though she's still making money at the box office... we've got some news about the Wonder Woman Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
Apparently there will be deleted scenes.
I thought that we had talked about that there were going to be no extra footage.
Like, that was the story.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it.
It's
always going to be.
Yeah, I just feel like either Patty or somebody made a huge deal about how they were like, there will not be any footage that you have not seen.
We shot it all. It's all up there. But apparently that's not true. They scraped together a scene. They were like, hey, what's that?
I think it's going to be just not any sort of giant plot-altering scene. It's just going to be some filler scene.
Probably not an action set piece.
Yeah, but I'm just excited. I just really, really, really want to see some behind-the-scenes footage of Gal with that green belly cut out.
Oh, my God.
That's all I want. I want to see the big cape reveal with her big pregnant green belly that she was talking about.
Oh, that's so funny. Is that going to be on there?
I'm hoping, because she was saying, that was in an interview, she said, I hope that it makes it to the DVD or the Blu-ray.
I think they're making a joke. I don't think they'll actually release
that. That would be awesome.
I don't think any of us will get our minds off of
that. God, it would look so cool. I want to see it so bad.
Work.
I think it'll be exciting. I'm just excited for the fact that it's going to be a 4K release, which is like, we haven't had any of the Marvel films yet. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be the first one, and this one is the first of the new waves of the HD, Blu-ray, DVD, or the 4K.
How cool is this, that this revolutionary movie is also going to be released?
I mean, because the one thing you could say is this movie has a really epic feel. I think a problem of a lot of the superhero films, Marvel is even more guilty of this than DC, is that they don't feel as large and epic as they could because they feel green screeny, so the scapes don't feel as large. Wonder Woman, because of that one battle scene at least, and Themyscira, like, there is some real grand feeling things. And even in like a Spider-Man Homecoming, which I love, it feels like you're on a Marvel playset kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel sweeping. I thought The Dark Knight felt sweeping, like movies like that. I think we're going to get all those films released on the Blu-ray. I think, is that all the movie news that we have to talk about right now, guys?
Oh, the leaks.
What?
The DVS, the IMAX footage.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I think this is already gone. I think you had an opportunity and blew it at this point. Somebody released the... I guess it was... What was it? So it was footage of BVS from the extended cut.
Yeah. That people had wanted on IMAX, but it couldn't because when it was released...
The aspect ratio of the IMAX was not in the extended cut of BVS. So I'm not sure if that was in the deleted scenes or the non-deleted scenes or whatever. But so they put out on Vimeo all these scenes from BVS that were in the IMAX aspect ratio.
This shows how much I did not... Like, I didn't dislike BVS. I know a lot of people did. I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it. You guys know I had my issues. Hashtag Martha. But when I saw this... The last thing I thought was, gotta go check that out. Like,
What? Oh, this?
Yeah, you know? And that's how you know something didn't sit that well with you.
It just seems silly to me. It's like, if you're not in an IMAX theater, it's like, all right, so it'll be a little bit of a longer picture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was it.
But your opportunity is gone because they've been taken down by the studio.
Yeah, so now you're screwed.
You're screwed. And it also looked like another IMAX news is sort of a Marvel story, but like Marvel seems to be backing off that Inhumans business.
Yeah.
Because now it is going to be opening up the week later. And like, I don't know. You guys know I'm a huge Marvel fan, but that Inhumans, man, that does not look IMAX worthy. That trailer doesn't make me think like, oh, I got to see that big, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. My thoughts. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But that's what it. That's our movie news. So that's it. And so now we'd like to present.
What time is it?
I think.
I don't even know. I haven't even heard it.
Oh. It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV Town. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking so divine. Also, Mikey, Christmas time. DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV Town.
Matt Bomer!
Dar! So, here's how this came to be. Matt tweeted at me. Do you tweet it? You twat.
No, he tweeted at you, Roxy. Oh, come on, you're a lady. Oh, my goodness.
He tweeted. It sounds weird. He tweeted at me when I had done that Roxy intro, like Roxy, and he was like, what are you trying to do, take my job? And I was like, well, maybe you should upgrade your ish. And he was like, well, maybe I will. And then he sent this. So point and match go to you, my friend, Matt. I love that. Great. I waited till on the show to listen to it. I love that. All right, so let's get into it. Some TV time.
Yeah, what do we got to talk about? Situations.
We got some casting going on in this bitch. It's perfect timing for it because it's August, and so, you know, we're not that far out. October is around the corner. There's a month in between, but it's around the corner's corner. So many corners.
September's anyway. Just pre-Halloween, be honest.
Very,
it's
very
just
true.
Setup month.
So this guy that I don't know, named Kirk Acevedo, was cast as another person that I really don't know, whose alias is Ricardo Diaz, but he really is Richard Dragon.
Richard Dragon, which is an Arrow villain. I don't know anything about Dick Dragon, but
so
I love
looking
the
him
name.
Up. Yeah, it's a great name, but I was looking it up, and it seems to me like he has no special. He doesn't have powers. He's just a sick ass fighter. So, and he also is going to be on multiple episodes. He has a whole arc coming up in this next season, so we'll see. I don't feel like it's big bad material, but maybe big bad's littler bad.
I just like his description as a hardened ex-con who's bent on taking over Star City's criminal underworld.
Blah, blah, blah.
So this is a guy who is, but what's also interesting is that he's just finishing up a prison sentence that he was wrongfully convicted of.
Mm-hmm. We see that a good amount on Arrow, where like somebody feels like Arrow burned him specifically, and so they're going after him. I'm wondering if he feels as if Arrow had a hand in getting him where he was, and now he's gonna attack.
Had a hand in making him a target.
I did also want to give a shout out to Matt Vollmer's band. Matt Vollmer's band, The Great Romance.
Yeah.
Which is, looks like there's tour dates. I don't know.
Damn.
So go to thegreatromance.com. Looks like we got shows happening on August 27th in Louisiana, Mississippi, Illinois on the 27th. So check out The Great Romance. Go look at Matt's music.
You say romance, interestingly.
Romance.
Yeah.
The Great Romance.
The Great Romance.
Matt, which one do you prefer? Romantical. The Great Romance. I was thinking of the song Romance in Durango.
Twat at him.
Okay.
I really am not supposed to say that, am I? It's really
a
weird word.
No, but you've already made that bed, so you can lie.
Now I'm lying in the twat bed.
No, I knew you were going to say it. I was waiting. I was like, it's not going to be that bad until she says twat bed.
All right, speaking of Arrow, this was an interesting one that kind of gave us some insight on what's going on. Mark Guggenheim was interviewed about Arrow and what is happening with John Barrowman this next season. He was asked if Barrowman would be returning, and he said, that's up to John. We told John when we called him. You're pointing at me?
No, I'm pointing at you because this is actually leading to a big question.
Yeah,
actually a big deal.
That's up to John. We told John when we called him to tell him about the events of the finale. Every single person on the show has come back in some shape or form. We've got flashbacks. We've got time travel. We've got parallel universes. Goodbye is never goodbye. He has an open invitation to return to the show anytime he wants.
So my question to you is,
give it to me, baby.
Did Arrow just grow some balls and actually kill some people on the show?
I don't know. That's what I would assume if we're saying we've got flashbacks.
Are some of those deaths going to stick?
If they say we've got flashbacks, yes, but then they say we've got time travel and parallel universes, it's like,
If Johnny were here, he'd say that's a great swerve. And that's what you should say, because it
again, it kind of like intimates the idea that some of those deaths stick. Like I almost hear like we told everybody like, hey guys, we're doing a big freaking shakeup. We're killing everybody. That would be the best thing that the show could do.
Really?
If they actually killed all those people.
Every single one except for Oliver and his son. Because then bye-bye, Felicity. Bye-bye, Mr. Terrific. We're saying bye to Wild Dog. You're down.
It would just be the ballsiest thing in the world. I would bring it back to zero. Come on, you're six seasons in. You've done everything with
that
the team.
That actually would be a smart
it would
marketing.
Be so
you know what Mike
ballsy.
Would be saying right now?
What?
The actors.
Oh, come on. Yeah. The
actors,
again.
They need jobs.
He's not Chavo, wrong. What do you guys think of that? I'm really curious. Like, that's what I read. I'm like, are they actually going to kill some of those people? I don't think Felicity will be killed.
Chaos 13212 says, well, they did kill Laura Lance. Howard AU says, sorry if that's not how you pronounce it, I don't want to see Malcolm anymore. Zias says, I think Barrowman will be back in one of those shows as well. Because that's true. We always have
legends
and whatnot.
Legends picks up everybody anywhere.
Yeah.
And Barrowman's everywhere.
But
he's
no, what I'm curious about
everything.
Is, do people think, like, how many other people would have been in that death? Would Deathstroke be dead too? I mean,
I don't know.
There was a lot of people that were blown
up.
Yeah,
you would assume. But I guess it depends on what part of the island you were on, maybe, or...
I thought they
Deathstroke
were all together.
Was at a different part than
oh,
the
yeah,
rest
spoilers.
Of them, right?
Yeah. It was months ago, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. Whatever. We're totally on spoilers. All right. Moving on to other TV time stuff. I saw that Kevin Smith tweeted, I think it was either a tweet or an Instagram, about being back for Supergirl season 3. None of us were really surprised by this because he's always talked about how much he loves working in this universe, especially on that show. This is what he said. Back in hashtag Vancouver for another adventure in National City with at the CW Supergirl. Third time's the charm.
See, now this is awesome because he loves doing this stuff and he's obviously the biggest fan, and it promotes the shows because tons of us nerds listen to a lot of his podcast. The most interesting thing about this is we type up show notes on a shared Google document, guys. That's how we kind of come up with the show. And Roxy, you know, for TV Time, likes to put together a lot of the TV stories. So when I read this story, and I didn't put this one on the document, I read Supergirl Season 3, The Retire of Kevin Smith. And I'm like, oh my God, Kevin Smith is retiring from CW shows.
I meant The Return. Sorry, my friend. Changing it now. So I will say my part is that I do them on my phone. Everything's done on my phone. The Retire of Kevin Smith.
I just clicked the link. I didn't even notice. Help.
Oh, yeah. So this will be, like, so you're confirming this is the last show that Kevin Smith.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. No, I'm not saying that. But what I will say that was a really big fangirl moment for me that has nothing to do with DC, but does have to do with Kevin Smith, is you guys know that I filmed that movie, Madness in the Method, that was Jay Muse's directing.
Okay.
So I'm in that movie, and they actually premiered a trailer at Comic-Con, and it was so freaking cool because I'm in a trailer with, like, Stan Lee, Kevin That's Smith, awesome. All these people. My, like, nerd heart just freaking hit the floor. Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. I'm like, these are the people, man.
Dean
like,
Cain, too?
Yeah.
When are we get Danny to see Trejo. This movie?
I don't know when it's going to be out, but I was just really excited.
They let Jay Muse direct all those people?
Yeah.
Come on. Kevin didn't, like, whisper in his ear a little bit?
He's, like, really not involved. No, he was very impressed with
that. Sounds frightening. So, what do you think about the movie? Is that going to be?
I'm hoping it seems really great from what I've seen so far. So I haven't watched it yet, but it seems really great. So this is a nerd moment. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, back to things that are DC related. Jesse Martin was talking a little bit about Joe's love life. We know this has been back and forth on the show, but we were curious what was going to end up happening with Joe West, if he was going to stay with this detective lady or not. And he talked to CBR at Comic-Con about this, which is interesting. Comic-Con news is still coming out. It's wild. Like, a month later, people are still like, did you miss this part at Comic-Con? I'm like, damn right I did. So they asked him about season 4 kicking off with the love life. He said, it's going to progress. That's really all I can say. She's going to be around, so we'll see what happens.
They're going
to
get married.
Yeah, I love that. It's going to progress. Like, you can really take that one way or another. Life progresses. But then he went on to say, I love the idea that Joe's got a girlfriend, so that gets explored. I really, really love that because I spent so much time just dealing with the kids and the gang over at Star Labs. Now I have somebody at home to deal with in a good way. Yeah, I love that he talks about his character like as if it's his life. He's like, oh, yeah. These dang kids.
So do you think, do you read into that, that Iris and Barry are not going to be, where are they going to be this season?
Well, Barry's in, like, who the hell knows where.
How long is he going to be in? If other seasons are an indication, he'll be back from who the hell
DA,
knows.
Oh, yeah, DA, sorry, not detective. That was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get confused with all the law.
That's good. That's what we have chat roll for, yeah. To correct us.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, talk about growing some balls. I know you were just talking about Arrow doing that. How ballsy would it be for Grant Gustin not to be in the first few episodes of The Flash?
It would be. I don't see that happening. But you're right. Like, you know,
they wouldn't have the title character not in the first few episodes. Title character,
Wally West.
Oh, totally. I mean, that would be amazing.
I don't know.
Wally West being a Flash. I mean, I'm watching Ray Donovan this season.
Me too, obviously. I love that show.
So they took a big swing with a major thing, and you're like watching that show, and you're like, wait, what? And you're like, season 5. You got to make some big swings.
I had no idea that was coming.
I still didn't know. I watched the end of the episode, and I'm like, the first episode, I'm like, wait, was that what did I miss? And I went back to last season. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, I know. They're doing a wonderful job with it. But it's true. You gotta mix it up. You got to shake it up. Especially Arrow, you know, people have been down on it, and finally people are back in.
Yeah.
Did you watch Preacher this week?
Oh, my God, yeah, I love that show.
It gets better and better every single episode. Good. I know I say that every week, but, like, gosh, it's so good. And I love that they don't try to explain every single thing. Like, we didn't have to witness what happened with Cassidy and his son.
Oh, yeah.
But then we see, like, where they're at.
It was great to watch. And we kind of knew where that was going.
Tulip, man.
Tulip's amazing. And I hear some people criticizing, like, the character of Jesse and, like, oh, he's not likable in this. It's like, I love that these characters are in really difficult places.
Yeah.
He's not a likable guy. She's in hell. They're all in awful places. They have a lot of story to do. That's how I'm saying. Like, this, you know, they've done such a good job at really... sort of just like dissecting the original story and telling a lot of stories that were not even in the original source material.
Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting. And what's going on in hell with Arschface and like everything there and Hitler. Yeah. It's like
Arschface and Hitler.
Do you kind of feel for Hitler? Because like what the hell's happening in my mind that I'm like...
I mean, in light of recent events, I certainly don't. No, as a Jewish man living in America.
Me as well. But like watching this, I'm like, why? What is the twist here? What are they going to do with this? Because like somehow he's the only one pulling on my heartstrings down there, which is like... You mother...
Ivan Soto is not feeling it. He's like, Jesse Custer's a freaking dick. I'm sorry. I know he is, but I mean, I think he's gonna redeem himself.
Guy Patterson, I think the saint of all killers, is probably God.
Oh, that's interesting. That would be an interesting twist. Oh, he's definitely going to come back, though.
Yeah, oh my God, of course. That's why they don't kill him, because, you know, they've got to.
I haven't read the original series in like over 10 years, and I'm not checking back in it, because I don't really want to be so reminded of like how it ends. I like that I forgot stuff, but I love Hair Star. Like,
Hair Star is so cool.
His backstory, and again, it's ridiculous and silly.
Everything that happens with him is so bizarre.
It's so bizarre, but I freaking love it.
I know. And he is such a talented actor. He just, like, is crushing that role. And the two people that he had, who were those two people? I forget their names.
The normies. Yeah, that was great. That woman's great. She's awesome.
Yeah.
What was she in? Was she in Breaking Bad? Is that the same woman who was in Breaking Bad?
I don't remember her in Breaking Bad.
Guys, remind me, the other couple. I thought she was Lydia. Was she not Lydia?
Oh, I know.
All I know is I want Ruth Negga to be Catwoman really, really, really bad.
Oh, I totally, yeah. I think a lot of people are pulling for that. I think Ruth Negga should be she wants to be.
Me too. I didn't see Loving.
You still
need
to watch Misfits.
Misfits. You said
still
the dinner show. I really got to watch that.
Just typing it down. All right, so that's it for TV time.
Okay, I know the first episode of the Telltale series, Batman, is out. I haven't played it yet.
I haven't played it yet.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to play that this weekend. Let me know
what
you guys think of that.
Okay, her name is Julianne Emery, and she was in Better Call Saul and Fargo.
Okay, she's in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
But she wasn't in Breaking Bad? Who did she play in Better Call Saul?
In Better Call Saul, she plays Betsy Kettleman.
All right, well, she's great. Anyway, I love all those guys. Love that show. I guess, is that it?
That's it.
All right, everyone. Roxy Stryer, she's got a face. She's got a shirt made of psychic paper and a face for radio.
Meanest thing anybody ever said to me.
You're gorgeous.
You guys can find me every Tuesday over at Screen Junkies. We are now free for you on Screen Junkies News YouTube channel for TV fights. So if you like TV time, you're definitely going to like TV fights. So go check that out. Also, I want to make sure we talk about Johnny's album, which you can find somewhere.
JQuastoAlbum.com.
That's where. It's awesome. Make sure you guys are supporting him. I know he really appreciates it. It's awesome that we got him over to Billboard Top 10. So freaking cool.
So awesome.
And that he topped the hip-hop charts too. That was pretty cool.
And the website is QuastoAlbum.com.
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 Buy that shiz, yo.
The sexiest Batman shirt I've seen in 2017 is worn by the lovely lady to the left of me, Elena Jordan.
Hey, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And if you're in Hawaii, come to the amazing Hawaii
Con.
Comic-Con. We just did Amazing Las Vegas, so having just Hawaii is
a lot of amazement.
Felt weird. But I'm going to be there this weekend, next weekend. So come down, see me, say hey.
Awesome. Well, I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, all those places. Enjoy the sausages at Doghouse restaurants and the hot dogs. It's Oktoberfest soon, hence the Lederhosen. Also find me in the Lederhosen, teaming up with Mikey Christmas to represent Team DC Movie News in the Schmodown. I know, nobody's counting for us to do anything, but trust me, Mike Kalinowski is a freaking lights-out genius, and if I cannot screw it up, then we're going to kick all kinds of ass in the Schmodown, and I'll be wearing this outfit as the Silent Assassin. We'll see you next time on DC Movie News!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.